We love you guys and we're so excited. Actually, I'm thankful I didn't drink any coffee because I'm so excited I would have jumped through the roof, you know, like a rocket. So praise God for that. But you know how much we love you and we appreciate you and your culture, your love, your passion for the Lord, your integrity is just amazing. And we really appreciate what God is doing with you. And I'm so grateful that the Lord gave us this great option to visit you again and that we can gather together and see your faces and just rub our shoulders. You know, the Bible calls it the fellowship of the saints. Amen. We are fellowshipping in the Lord. We know that. It's priority. It's very important. But also the Bible talks about the fellowship of the saints. And we are so glad to be here. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel it on the inside. It's bubbling like a living waters. Thank you, Jesus. A few new things about us. Last year, since the pandemic, stroke the world, and we didn't know what to do, but the Lord gave us wisdom, and we opened a Bible school for our country in Bulgaria. In Europe, the country of Bulgaria. It's an online Bible school, and we have people scattered all over Europe, you know, churches, pastors, and ministers. And last year, we started with 108 people, equipping the saints, praise God. And this year, we have a second year, and both of them, we have like 180. 108, now we have 180, praise God. And some people are still enrolling. And we still work with Georgian Banoff and Winnie Banoff with Day School of the Supernatural in Harrisburg. The school went online, but the enemy meant it for evil, but the God meant it for good. You know, since they opened online, students and people from all over the world were able to enroll and to participate. And we had people from Australia, Germany, Sweden, you know, all over the states, which was wonderful to see these people, you know, participating the wonderful work of Jesus. Praise God. What else? We had a wonderful conference in Harrisburg, and Heidi Baker and Andrew Womack, people like that, and we were very, very blessed, and we saw healings and all kind of life transformations, you know, people being delivered, which was also amazing. Yeah, we are coming from there, so we are drenched, praise God. And it's good seeing you guys, and we love this building, you know, believe it or not, for us it's nice building. It has historical hint, and we really like places like that. Reminds us of Europe. It's wonderful. And we have some products on the back, on the table. We have books, and this new thing, Albena made it last year or 2 years ago. It is a flash drive. And on the flash drive, you have 5 teachings on a specific topic. Like, for example, this is called glory. And we have joy, we have resurrection life, stuff like that. So if you're interested, if you have these contemporary radios in the car, you know, I don't have one, but some people drive new cars and they can just plug it in, flash drive, and listen to these teachings, powerful revelations. Books, you know, like 5 books on the different topics. This is, for example, Glory and Beauty, all about the apparel and the clothes and the robes and every decoration. The high priest in the Old Testament was decorated and clothed with. You know how many details are given in the Bible? And the Bible is not a book of empty words. Every little detail had a meaning pointing to Jesus, our heavenly high priest. So if you're interested of types and shadows, this is a good, very good book. And we have some other stuff, of course. Thank you for that. My beautiful wife is with me here, Albena, and she is always beside me, and I'm so grateful to the Lord. She's the best helper possible. Amen. So this is the plan for today. You know, I am a prophet and a teacher. And God is combining those two gifts, you know, in my life. And I'm so grateful. I used to be a pastor, pastoring a church in Bulgaria for 25 years. We started underground during the communism. Persecuted, being in the jail, no Bibles, nothing related to faith. And believe it or not, I know what communism and atheism and Marxism brings. Some people are deceived to be curious, at least, and to suggest that it might be good. It's not, believe me. I'm coming from a communistic background. It's not good only because of one main reason. It's atheistic at his root. It cuts off God from your life, and they say God doesn't exist. And let me tell you, without God, we are dead. Amen. Spiritually and physically. We need God. We don't need these teachings. We need the Bible, and we need revival. Amen. Praise God. So the plan for today is I have a powerful message to share with you about the first miracle which took place after Jesus' resurrection and after the church received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And after I preached that, God gave me in His grace and mercy a prophetic word for your church. I had a very, very powerful prophetic word during the conference, you know, with Georgian and his gatherings. And I didn't want to go with something old and which is not for the specific situation. And I prayed and cried out to the Lord, Lord, would you like to give me something specific beside the teaching for these people? And praise God, He visited me today and He gave me a powerful prophetic impartation, which I will release afterwards. Okay? So let's go to chapter 3, book of Acts, chapter 3, if you'd like. And in the book of Acts, chapter 3, as I told you, there is a long description of the first miracle which took place after the church was born, the New Testament church was born, baptized with the Holy Spirit. They entered, the saints, those who were expecting the promise after Jesus' ascension, because He promised to wait and to stay in Jerusalem until they would be visited and clothed with power from above. You see, God gave us substance, and that substance is new life. That substance is the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's anointing, and it's amazing. And let me tell you, there are many miracles in the Bible, but some miracles, they mark the premiere, if I can say, of a new era, of a new dispensation. And every new dispensation presented in the Bible usually would start by a sign, a wonder, or a miracle. As, for example, if you remember, Jesus' ministry was marked by a miracle, which was the first miracle, turning the water into wine. If you remember, that was in the Gospel of John. And the apostle says, this first miracle actually marked the ministry of the manifestation of Jesus' glory here on earth. Why He started with that miracle is another story for another time. Today we're going to speak about something else. Now, this is the first miracle in the book of Acts, chapter 3, as I told you. After the baptism, after they got enveloped in the power of the Holy Spirit, and after the New Testament era and dispensation of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit was given and presented, this is the first manifestation of this power and this anointing. And why it's so important? Because in every first miracle, there is a lesson in a nutshell, like a teaching, like a prophetic implication in a nutshell, you know, hidden for us, and many details are given. The first one is that this miracle was performed by Peter and John going to the temple. And right at the gate, which was called Beautiful, not by accident, you know, it happened right at the entrance of that gate. It was beautiful, this gate, because it was huge and decorated with silver and brass, and it was facing east. And every morning, the sun rising on the horizon would shine upon with its brightness upon that gate, and you can see the reflections of the sun reflected, the beams of the sun reflected from the decoration of this gate, you know, from a very, very far distance, like a spot of fire, you know, because it was reflecting the sun. And of course, it represents spiritually Jesus. It speaks about Jesus, because Jesus is not only the gate, but he is the only door. He's the only gate, and no one comes to the Father but by him. And he was beautiful because the whole glory was manifested, the glory of the Father. And glory, usually we connect that with beauty, you know, and something which is gorgeous, which is beyond description. God is beyond every possible imagination we can imagine, you know, and guess. He is beyond that. And this gate represents the light of the world, Jesus Christ, who shone upon this darkness, and the world was stricken with sin and darkness and stuff like that. He became the doorway. He became the beautiful gateway to the Father, because it was not just a gate leading to the city or to some other place. It was not a gate leading to a pub or to the marketplace. No, it was a gate leading where? Right into the temple. And when we speak about a temple, it's not one of the temples. It was the only temple established in this world to carry the real presence of the only true and genuine God, Jehovah. Praise God. So this guy, the beggar, who was lame from his birth. Imagine, he never ever, the Bible says, never ever walked in his life. He didn't know even, he didn't have the slightest idea how people can walk, what is to be like that, you know, because he was born like that without what? Without power to stand on his feet. And this guy here, right here in this story, as I told you, there are a lot of prophetic implications. He represents, he is a federal representator. He is a general representator of all of us, sinners. We were born, we didn't become sinners. If you study the Bible, you realize that you inherit that sinful nature from the fall of the first Adam. You are not born a saint and then, or innocent, as we would say, and then by practicing sin, you become a sinner. No, that's not the biblical picture. The biblical picture is you are born a sinner with a sinful nature, and because of this sinful root, later on you start practicing sin and manifesting sin. But Jesus came to cut off that root and to give you a new one. That's the good news. The story doesn't end there. Praise God. So he is powerless, but listen what Paul says in the book of Romans, you know. Let me read that scripture. Let me find it. For while we were still without strength, isn't that powerful? Paul says, while we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Beautiful. While we were unable to stand on our feet, which, do you know what righteousness according to the Bible is? Righteousness is right, means literally right standing with God, before God. And you see, this picture here represents that there was none righteous. You know, Paul says, no one is righteous before God, but praise God, Jesus came. He worked out his righteousness and imparted that righteousness into your life. So Jude chapter 1 says, today, praise God, you may stand with before the Lord. He may present you holy and blameless in joy. Isn't that beautiful? That is the epistle of Jude, one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. And it's such a small chapter. But at the end, he nails it and he says, he has the power to present us holy and blameless in joy into his, without any condemnation and guilt in his presence. Isn't that wonderful that he took away the guilt, he took away and put it on Jesus, and Jesus bore it on the cross so you may walk upright. Praise God. And this guy is sitting there day by day and he is begging. He's helpless, and all he knows and all he does is to ask for some alms, for some help. And that's a very good representation of the sinner before Christ died on the cross, because in our being without strength, being unable to stand on our feet and to exercise the life God the Father had appointed for us, the only thing we could do is asking for mercy, asking for grace, asking for help. And God was gracious through all the dispensations, praise God. One way or another, he is the merciful God. He is the God of mercy. But he didn't stop there. You know, this guy was met by Peter and John on the way to the temple. They crossed that spot and they came right before him. And when Peter saw him, he had something in mind, which I really believe was God's idea. Thank you, Lord. Do you know? Wow. Let me explain something here. Open a bracket. When our son, Chris, was very small, we were constantly, he was constantly with us. He was a homeschooler. So we would take him to some big cities, conferences, constantly involved in ministry. And then we will go in this, Europe is very, we live packed, you know, streets are very busy. So we had a rule established. I told him something, and I told him, listen, if you get lost, you don't go looking around, crying, shouting, you know, and freaking out. You stay calm right there where we've lost you. I will come back. I will be responsible to come back and find you because I know the place I left you. I have the idea where was the last place we were together. I will return. I will come back at the right place and I will find you. And it worked very well at least 2 times. You know, he was standing there and he was waiting for me. I found him. I took him and I told him, you see, that's the work. It works. And you know what, guys? Salvation was not our idea. It was not we finding God, you know, and finding the way and to the Lord. It was God who returned to humanity with his power, with his salvation. He found us. He found us in our despair. And he was the one who took our hand and came to our place of disability and weakness and all kind of stuff like that, and give us and impart it into us new life so we may walk with him and live with him. And this is what happened. Peter came to the place and God had a new idea for this guy. And this idea was not to give him just a big amount of money, because even the biggest, most glorious amount of gold and silver wouldn't be able to make him alive, to make him strong, and to give him qualification to enter into the temple. He was disqualified because of the law. The law disqualifies you if you have any physical problem or issue or stuff like that. So they would separate these people, and they would consider them outsiders, rejected, sinful, born in their sins. So they will stay away and not allow them to enter. Can you imagine the pitiful condition of this guy? But God saw something, not only in him, God saw something in every one of us, that we are made for something greater. We are made for more. We were not made just to be thrown into this world, to live for, you know, 50, 60, 70, whatever years, and then disappear like trash and just suffer and miseries and working as a dog, as a slave and stuff. No, you were appointed, listen to this, for glory. Not just glory, God's glory. For God's glory, praise God. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Now listen what happened. Details are given here on a purpose. First of all, the Bible talks about the hour this miracle took place. The Bible says it was the ninth hour according to the Jewish clock. And the Jewish clock, the ninth hour of the Jewish clock speaks, no, not the ninth. The 3 p.m. was the ninth hour Jewish points to 3 p.m. English time. And now let me ask you a question. I don't care which hour that happened. And I will tell you why. Because one way or another, the main point here is that the impossible was broken, and miracle happened, and this guy now was raised from his disability. Now, that's what makes sense to me. Who cares which hour? But the Lord stopped me once and he said, if it's in the Bible, you need to pay attention. And I said, okay, Lord, I pay attention, doesn't speak anything to me. Could be the 10, the 11. No, he said, study my son. So I started studying. I was blown away to realize that this miracle exactly here happened at the same time, the same hour Jesus died on the cross. Isn't that beautiful? When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible and cry out, it is finished. It was 3 o'clock afternoon, our time. And at the same moment, exactly, the Bible says the veil in the temple, which separates the holy of holies, the most holy place on this earth, where God's presence and glory was positioned, immediately was torn apart. That barrier, that prevention, that which speaks about our disqualification, was torn apart. But it was a divine intervention, because the Bible says from the top, it started from above. It came from above. It came down from above, and the veil was torn apart from the top to the bottom. Which speak immediately when Jesus died on the cross and he cried out, it is finished, the way was open. And the author of the epistle of Hebrews speaks about this way, calls it the new and living way, which was the flesh given on the cross of Jesus Christ. So the first thing we see in this miracle, we have someone who represents all of us. He's totally powerless and he's totally disabled and disqualified. He's outsider. He cannot enter in the temple. Yes, he is at the gate, beautiful. He is at the right spot. And I'm telling you, only Jesus can give you access. And Jesus is not in the world. Jesus is in the church and Jesus is in the Bible. And Jesus is in the midst of the saints. You need a congregation. You need a group of people, two or three, get it together in his name. Amen. And that's where you find access to this glorious qualification, that you will belong to the Father, and the Father will make a dwelling place in you. Praise God. And then let us proceed further. So it is the third hour. It is ninth hour, and then it speaks that this guy was 40 years old. Now give me a break. 40, 30, if you are born lame, you cannot walk. Who cares? I mean, this number doesn't bring any understanding to me. And the Lord pointed and he said, study number 40, study in the Bible. And I was blown away to realize that 40 is a very biblical, very important number. And usually it speaks about one segment of dispensation, time, or era being expired, and a new era, a new dispensation being introduced after the expiration of the 40 years. Isn't that significant? Look at his life. Exactly when he was 40 years old, that old life was wiped out, that old life was buried, you know, in the death of Jesus was just taken away, and a new era came, and he was presented and he entered into the sphere of new life. And how can I prove that? When, at least, because I don't have time for many, you know, explanations, but at least one. Let me ask you, how many years God appointed Israel to wander in the desert? If you remember, it was exactly 40 years. For these 40 years, all the result of rebellion, all the result of sin, all the result of being disobedient to faith and belief had expired, and God raised a new leader in the face of whom? In the face of Joshua, which speaks about Jesus, and raised a new generation and brought them and introduced them to the promised land, which speaks usually not only of geographical location, but points to the finished work of Jesus. Amen? So you see, it took 40 years exactly. And this speaks spiritually that with Jesus, with the coming of Jesus and his death on the cross and resurrection lately on the third day, the old dispensation of disqualification of disbelief and everything, you know, we not being able to obey fully and completely the requirements of the law has expired. And now in the face of Jesus and giving the Holy Spirit, a new era, a new dispensation is being what? Presented to us to enter, to participate, to enter and become part of it, which is the dispensation of God's grace. Amen. It's beautiful. It's awesome to be. Let me announce to you, there is no greater privilege for a saint from the Old Testament thinking about us. You see, we are so privileged to live in the dispensation of God's grace. The Bible speaks many places, you know, that people wanted to see, wanted to taste, wanted to experience it. But the author says, but it was revealed unto them that it was appointed for us. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. This salvation by grace through faith is the most desirable gift ever David could have imagined, because in Romans chapter 4, he prophesies, he sings about our state of being forgiven and being living with a new life by God's grace, not by the law. And he says, blessed are those whose sins will be wiped out, and God will not count their sins, but will what? Will give him righteousness, God's righteousness into us. That's so beautiful. So first thing, we see the hour was specific. Then we see 40 years, okay? What's next? Then Peter stops and he says, look at us. And that's very unusual. I laugh when I read that, when I saw it, because the Bible says, the previous verse says that when the lame man saw Peter and John approaching, he looked at them expecting to receive something. So Peter saying to the lame man, look at us, is kind of illogical, because he was already looking at them. And then I realized when the new dispensation, when this salvation God has appointed for you, this new life is being presented, God wants you to look on the things in a new way, with a different perspectives and expectation. Why? Because he was already, he had preset notions. He had these preset ideas, you know, default. Next, alms, gold, silver. Next, alms, gold and silver. He didn't expect from Peter and John what they were planning to give him. So Peter wanted to make him sober, to awaken him for the new things. Do you understand that sometimes when you face this challenge of salvation, of new life and what God is presenting to you, you need to look at the things passing by in a new way with a new expectation. And if you're still expecting to receive in the old way, you may miss it. You have to have an eye with a different perspective and expectation that the old things cease and they stop right here. Now God's gonna do something new. Won't you pay attention to it? Amen. And he, the Bible says, listen, I love what the King James or New King James says. And when Peter said, look at us, my Bible says, and he gave them his attention. Whoo, that's powerful. He gave them his attention. The English Standard says, he focused his attention on them. Wow, listen guys, we come here, we gather together and we open the Bible, we seek the Lord. Do you know that you need to focus, you need to give your attention, your expectation for something new, something beyond the powers of this world, the manners, the cultures and everything, because what you will receive is not on horizontal level. What you're gonna receive is on a vertical level from above, which is coming directly from God. That's why Noah's window, he had only one window on his ship, you know, on that ark he made, and it was on the top. Isn't that prophetic? Make a window and put it on the top, not on the side. The world around us is falling apart. But do you know, Jesus is this mean of salvation. Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus is the Ark of salvation. If we are in Jesus, we have a window on the top above. And we are looking and seeking for the things above. And Paul says in Colossians, King James says, put your affections on the things above. Your thoughts, your expectations, think about those things which are in heaven, not about the things on earth. Let me proceed further for time's sake. Look at us, and Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'm giving to you. And that's shocking, because the guy was expecting gold and silver. And why would Peter say silver and gold? And many people, you know, defending poverty and stuff like that, they point to that verse. But actually what Peter is saying, if I give you the whole silver and all and gold of the world, you won't be able to rise up and walk. I'm giving you something which will impart into you a new qualification of new life. And actually this miracle speaks of our glorious transition and miraculous transformation from the sphere of the old life into the sphere of entirely new life. Because now we not just receiving something from the outside, we have received an impartation which made us different and able and very capable to exercise the God's kind of life, righteous and holy, which is Zoe, which is marked with agape, selfless love, praise God. And he says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Grab him for his right hand, lifted him up. And the Bible says, and immediately, how much I love the Bible, how much I love this verse. Immediately his feet, his ankles received strength. Strength was what he lacked and didn't have. Now he received strength and he jumped, he rose up and immediately started walking and exercising new life. And I'm telling you, when you get, praise God, when you get born again, you receive a new identity. You receive God's life and God's power in you through this being born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit, of course. And you know, Peter says, remember that you haven't been redeemed by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb as a sacrifice without any blemish and spot, anything like that. And what I love about this story is how immediately someone who is born again, he becomes and he turns into a new person. Not new system, not new religion, new rules, new... No, this will follow, of course, these manners and habits. But first of all, you personally, you become a new man, new person. And you start living a new life, which is now empowered by God himself, not by your own power. And what Jesus gave, you know, I love what Paul says, that he loved me. This is Galatians chapter 2, 20-something. He loved me and gave himself for me. It just blew me away. Jesus didn't give you a thing. Jesus gave you himself. Isn't that the most precious thing? I can give you gold, silver, I can give you my watch, I can give you all kinds of things, even my car, I can donate. But giving myself, that's a lot. That's totally different. And you know, he didn't give whatever, you know, precious thing. He gave himself. You possess more than gold, more than silver. You possess Jesus. You have Jesus living in you. You have the Spirit of Jesus. You have the life of Jesus, the anointing of Jesus, the Spirit of his Son. Everything which is related to Jesus, you have it. That's why without him, we can do nothing. We can do many things, but they will be counted nothing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the story gets very, very beautiful, you know. And when he jumped, he started, the Bible says, he started immediately exercising this new power. And he started jumping and praising God and walking. That's what the Bible says. Jumping, walking, and praising God. What is very unusual, listen to this. It's a prophetic implication in a lesson. Peter and John, as good as it was what happened and took place, wonderful, miraculous, beyond everything people would expect, as good as it was, they didn't remain at that spot. You get it? They didn't remain at that spot where the miracle took place. They immediately proceeded further behind the gate, beautiful, and they entered into the temple. That's your destination. That's your life. You know, you listen to me. You get born again, but you are not appointed to remain in your old culture, manners, habits at the spot where God finds you. Amen. You need, God will lead you further. God wants to qualify you and to make you an insider of a new sphere of life where he abides, where he reigns, where his presence, and now you live in the presence of God. Now you live in something different. Now you are enveloped in this amazing baptism with Christ and the Holy Spirit. You don't remain in the sphere of your old life which was marked by weakness. You are more than conqueror. And God wants to make you an insider. And he was bold enough, holding to Peter and John, immediately to enter with them. He didn't remain outside. Isn't that beautiful? And if you are holding to your source, which is Jesus, which is the Bible, which is this new life and God, if you are holding unto him, I'm telling you, he will become the source, the very source of your new life. And very interesting, I made a study today. The Greek word for jumping is halomai. Halomai, he was jumping for joy, you know. Halomai is used only in three places in the New Testament. The first one is when Jesus said that if you believe in me and if you receive me, out of your innermost being, out of your belly, rivers of living waters shall spring out, or the Greek word is will halomai out of you. Isn't that beautiful? Wow, praise God. And the second time is used with this lame man, and the third time is used with another lame man, which Paul healed later on in the book of Acts. And I love the parallel between the living waters of new life gushing out of your innermost being and you exercising this power, you know, of jumping for joy. And then he proceeded further. Immediately, he felt qualified. Nothing is preventing me anymore to be an outsider. Thank you, Jesus. You have been received, and I am announcing you. You have arrived in Christ and with Christ. You are welcome. You are home, and you have arrived. And there is nothing more to be pursued than that, I'm telling you. And he entered in the temple. Now people are watching and seeing him, and they see something strange, like a behavior. He's still jumping. He's still exercising this joy and manifesting it, but still holding, if you read the Bible, still holding to Peter and John. And it's a great lesson for us. First of all, don't lose your wonder. So many people after became, you know, experienced Christians, they left that joy. They left that jumping. They left that power of manifesting and exercising the inner strength God gave me. They left it at the door, and now they start moderating. They start getting, normal, whatever. I don't know how to explain it. But listen, what God started with can continue on and on and on, unquenchable. Nothing can prevent it. We are supposed to remain and continue to be joyful saints, to be, because we are saved. And the day he saved you, you know how you felt about that. You felt free. You felt qualified. You felt accepted. You fell on the top of the world. And I'm telling you, nothing and no one has the power, the ability to bring you down. You're still there in heavenly places beside the right side of the Father, accepted in the Beloved. Wow. And I was amazed. He didn't enter, and now I'm normal. And don't get me wrong, I love normal, you know. I'm not about, you know, stuff. But if you have this springing up, and you need to manifest whatever God has put in you. Sooner or later, it will start overflow. You smile when you go outside. You bless. You help. You the sweet aroma of Jesus unto salvation every place you go. Amen? Praise God. And the second thing I want to finish with is he's holding to Peter and John. Isn't that interesting? Now, as the lame man who was healed held onto Peter and John, all the people run together to them at the porch, which is called Solomon's porch and stuff. They got amazed. And for me, it's very unusual, because imagine someone who is jumping shouting, rejoicing, walking, but still holding to you. He will pull on you, you know, like, but he, I don't know why, but he didn't want to lose his grip on Peter and John, the source of his healing, salvation, and new life. And I realized that is our journey. That is our pattern. That's the way we should be. Who is your source? Jesus is your source. Once you get a hold on him, I'm telling you, he will lead you to your glorious journey further and further into the depths of God's glory. But you know what? Once you let him go alone and you lose your grip, your strong hold on him, you know, and let him go. I'm telling you, without him, we don't know the way. We don't know what to do. And we lose the power and everything because you are not the source. The Bible is the source. The Spirit is the source. Jesus is the source. The fellowship is the source. And we need to continue to exercise a hold, to put a hold on this and to continue to hold on it and for it. Praise God. What a great lesson, people. What a great lesson. You see, it speaks about us. It speaks about this joy, this manifestation of this new life. Oh, praise God. Everyone would realize that something has happened with you. Amen. Once you get saved and born again, you're no more the same person. Praise God. So as I promised you, I have a prophetic word which I want to release. And this is what the Lord told me. Now, this is concerning you, you know. Do you remember the story about God meeting Moses in the desert? Do you remember how it happened? The Bible says that there was a bush, a thorny bush in the desert, and there was fire manifesting in the midst of that bush. And the bush was burning with fire, but listen, but was not consumed. And that was very unexpected and unusual in such a way that Moses was bewildered. He was astonished and he said, I will pass by closer. I will go and see why the bush, although burning, is not consumed. And when he came to that place, you know that God spoke out of this spot, of this sphere of glorious manifestation, called him, established him in his journey, in his destiny. He had to put off his shoes because the place was holy. But this is what the Lord told me. Listen to this. The fire of God was in the bush, okay? It was not the bush burning. It was the fire of God burning with its own source, resources, and power. It was not the bush burning. It was the fire of God, but the fire was in the bush. And this is the lesson for us. Listen. I want to speak about the fire of God. I don't know why. That's what he gave me. To pray for you for an impartation of divine, holy fire to be imparted and released into your being, into your life. But this is the point. It is not your fire. It is not your enthusiasm. It is not your own effort, devotion, as good as important they are. It comes from God and it represents and it's God himself. What I mean, the bush burned with that fire but was not consumed. Do you realize that some people are burned out? Guess why? Some Christians are burned out. Some Christians and ministers have burned out. And I don't blame the difficulties, you know, their ability to endure the difficulty and stuff like that. But listen, this is the lesson. If you burn with the fire of God, it is not you burning. It is God burning in you. You are the carrier. You are the carrier. God is giving you this impartation and this manifestation of holiness, of influence, of light, of salvation, of power, of healing, of destroying darkness, but it is not you. And you know the good part of the story? As long as the fire was manifesting, the bush was still there. The bush was not burned down and turned into ash. And that's us. If we serve the Lord, who is the Lord of the holy fire, you know what? We will remain. We can remain steady. We can remain whole and sound without being brought down and turned into ash. I don't want to see your life turning into ash. Your fellowship with your spouse or whatever, with your job, or you know, can be anything. So many people burn down fear, you know, anxiety and stress. And stress is the biggest enemy. But if you burn with the fire which comes from the Lord, it is not you. It is Him working through you and working in you. And I can prove that with another picture. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, there were many, many furniture and objects in the tabernacle. One of them was the lampstand. Do you remember that? A lampstand made of pure gold. And that lampstand was supplied with oil. And the oil had to be supplied on a daily basis, every morning. You see, God didn't put candles. You know, like the Greek Orthodox, they burn candles. No, you are not a candle. Do you know that the church is compared to a lampstand? Read the book of Revelation and you will see Jesus walking among the seven lampstands of gold, which are the seven churches. And if you are a lampstand, if you belong to this church, if you belong to this picture, you know, you don't burn with wax. You don't burn with your own life ability, whatever it is, you know, I told you, efforts and enthusiasm. But what? God supplies the lampstand with what? With oil. And what burns in you is the oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which carries and manifests the fire of God. You are a container. You are a temple. This body is a temple. You have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in you on the inside. And it's their power, it's their ability, it's their wisdom, it's Christ's mind, Christ's righteousness, Christ's holiness, Christ's ability. How good is to be in a place like that? To be dependent, and even exactly when you become dependent, you become more independent. Why? Because when you're dependent on the Lord, you became independent of the world. Praise God. I want to pray for you. If you want me to lay hands on you, you're welcome to step forward. If you don't want to step forward, I just want to release, because God knows your heart. God is answering to those who are expecting, hungry, thirsty, and humble to receive. Amen. And if you're ready for that kind of life, that God will give you His fire and you will not burn down, and you will continue tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and next year, and it is unquenchable. Amen. Unquenchable fire I release in the name of Jesus. Unstoppable, unquenchable. Till the end, till Jesus comes, I declare that fire to come down and find its dwelling place, to dwell in the bush. Woo, thank you, Lord. Come down right now. Come down. I want a fire of fresh love, fresh, selfless love. I want right now a fire of joy, heavenly joy, not happiness, not the happiness of the world. I want the joy of the Lord to to be sung over me, to be released, to rejoice with the same joy. Jesus was anointed with an anointing of joy more than his brethren. And I receive, Father, the fire of supernatural power to influence the world, my neighborhood, my city, my community, my family, my personal life, to be marked with something which is unquenchable, the source of new life which is found in Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. I pray in the name of Jesus, rain down holy fire. Ah, hallelujah. You will be baptized, the book of Acts says, with the Spirit and fire. Don't miss the fire. Don't miss the fire. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fire means energy. Fire means supernatural activity. Fire means influence which comes from another source. There were seven burning lamps before the throne. And I believe there is a lamp for every continent on this earth. We have seven main continents, you know, portions of land. I believe that God has fullness and completeness to release fire upon every continent. Why don't you receive now for the United States, for this piece of land, that there is still a lampstand which is unquenchable, unquenchable. No power, no authority, nothing of this world, no enemy, no name can prevent this fire from burning in our hearts and manifesting with its influence, burning down wickedness and burning down everything which doesn't belong to the kingdom of God. Let your fire come as you promised. We receive, we agree, we humble ourselves and we say, I want to be a container carrying that fire. It's not me. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, while you burn with that fire, let every influence of viruses and epidemics and stuff like that be burned down in the presence of that fire in the name of Jesus. I declare supernatural protection against viruses and all kind of influence, airborne, whatever. Stay in the fire and may the fire keep you alive in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen and amen. Whew, I'm still here. If you want to come down, I'll be ministering to you. Pastor John, thank you so much. What a great privilege to be with you guys. Whew, glory to Jesus.